Rapid fire. Post 9/11 veterans fuel membership surge in Alaska. Jack Henry American Legion Post 1 in Anchorage, Alaska, was chartered September 17, 1919, named for the first man from the city killed in action during the Great War. 33 young veterans attended the first official meeting at a moose lodge. Today, 103 years later, a new future belongs largely to a growing core of post-9/11 veterans who are dedicated to the Legion's time-honored values and are now fulfilling them in new ways. Over the past 3 years, Post 1 has nearly doubled in size, from about 400 to more than 725, putting it in the number one membership slot for the department. When you get us involved, what you discover is that the Legion has been around for over 100 years, explains Post 1 Adjutant Laura Sturdivant, 33, an Air Force Academy graduate and former intelligence officer. That means three generations have been through here. That means we have done that generational shift. And that means the Legion can survive, and it's not going to die. We just need to figure out how to go for the global war on terrorism veterans, and then we can ensure that it lives on for another 100 years. The Post has made a mission focus of attracting, activating, and retaining young members for its entire American Legion family. Its second century renaissance has come by adjusting certain features to make it more family-friendly, fun, purpose-driven, and community-connected. We brought in officers within the Legion who are engaged professionals, engaged downtown, First Vice Commander D.J. Jones says. Chamber of Commerce members started coming in. They saw potential. They liked what they saw. First and foremost, how can we get you to be a member? Are you military? Are you a son? Are you auxiliary? We ask those questions. We try to get them in the membership. We keep working it. Jones, an Air Force veteran of Desert Storm and Iraqi Freedom, with 14 combat deployments to the Middle East, has been a member for just over 4 years. In two of those years, he has earned Gold Brigade jackets for recruiting 50 or more Legion members, and 1 year he received Silver Brigade honors for signing up more than 25. Our average age has dropped down to the 40s, Jones says. That's just targeting the younger group. Things like, believe it or not, beer and yoga. The first time I heard it, I laughed. Beer and yoga? Are you kidding me? Some of the Post's older members weren't so sure about such a combo. Pretty sure they heard beer and yogurt at first, he says. But once they realized different ideas were changing the demographics of the Post, they really liked the energy. Now, Jones says, there is a strong bond between older members and the new generation that has proven mutually beneficial. A lot of vets coming in will stop and get to talking and find out a veteran who served in Afghanistan or Iraq has, go figure, very similar experiences to a veteran who served in Vietnam or Korea. Sturdivant says one of the best things the older veterans provide the new generation is a wealth of industry knowledge. Name the industry. For us young folks that are getting out of the military, that's a great source that we can pick up on. Hey, how do I do my outside civilian job when all I have ever known is the military? A key point is in our transition out. How things operate in the civilian world is different than in the military world. Those of us who joined right out of high school, that's all we have known. Civilians don't always understand that, she says. Legionnaires, regardless of age or war era, do. It's a home. I liken it to that spirit of service we had in the military. Jeff Stauffer. Learn more about Post One's resurgence. Legion.org/membership. $9 million plus. Total amount, as of the spring meetings, donated to the American Legion Child Welfare Foundation by Sons of the American Legion since 1988, close to half of all funds raised. $705,937. American Legion Legacy Scholarship Funds awarded for 2022 to 71 children of post-9/11 veterans. Dillard on PACT Act. If not now, when? In April, American Legion National Commander Paul E. Dillard toured seven states, from Alaska to Georgia, to rally veteran support for passage of the Honoring Our Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics Act, PACT Act, in the U.S. Senate. He then brought that message to Indianapolis on May 3rd, where Legionnaires from across the nation had gathered for the organization's spring meetings. Calling the PACT Act a once-in-a-generation piece of legislation, Dillard reiterated the need for the Senate to bring it to a floor vote. Passed by the House of Representatives in March, the PACT Act would provide priority Group 6 status for more than 3.5 million veterans exposed to toxic contamination, including burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. It also expands the list of conditions associated with Agent Orange exposure and acknowledges illnesses suffered among veterans exposed to atomic radiation and toxic water at Camp Lejeune. We have spent trillions rebuilding other countries from the ravages of war, Dillard said. These men and women are also a cost of war, and those bills must be paid. Stephen B. Brooks. Selected resolutions of the spring meetings. Internal Affairs. 3. Departments and posts encouraged to honor past national commanders' gravesites. National Security. 27. Supports establishment of 24-hour child development centers on all military installations. Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation. 10. Improve VA care for LGBTQ+ veteran community. 11. Urges VA to automatically enroll eligible veterans into care, with the option to opt out. 12. Urges White House to consider judges with expertise in veterans law for appointment to U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. 15. Supports continued development of VA prosthetic program. 18. Urges VA to support caregivers of any age when caring for a veteran service member with complex medical or mental health needs. Veterans employment and education. 20. Amend Title 38 to provide GI Bill education benefits for veterans receiving general discharge under honorable conditions. 21. Endorses transfer of duties and responsibilities of Center of Verification and Evaluation from VA to Small Business Administration. Read all 30 resolutions passed. Legion.org/archive. Paralympian Rob Jones to MC National Convention. Afghanistan veteran and Paralympian Rob Jones will MC the opening ceremonies of the 103rd American Legion National Convention on August 30th in Milwaukee. Jones joined the Marine Corps Reserve as a combat engineer while attending Virginia Tech. In 2010, he was wounded by an exploding landmine, resulting in a left knee disarticulation and amputation of his right leg above the knee. During his recovery at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, Jones learned to navigate life with two bionic knees and took to rowing. He decided to train for the 2012 Paralympics, where he and his partner won bronze. In 2013, Jones began a solo supported bike ride from Maine to California, covering 5,180 miles in 181 days and raising money as part of a team for wounded veterans charities. In 2017, he completed a back-to-back marathon challenge, running 31 marathons in 31 days in 31 major cities. A public speaker, Jones lives with his wife on a farm in Middleburg, Virginia, where he is also a member of American Legion Post 295. Front of House Band headlines National Commander's Banquet. The featured performer at the National Commander's Banquet on August 30th will be Front of House, a nine-piece group that packs the dance floor with stellar vocals, sizzling horns, and a driving rhythm section. Led by David Sherman, the band's selections include Sinatra-style jazz, R&B from the 60s and 70s, classic rock from the 80s and 90s, and contemporary pop. The banquet is sold out. Contact your department adjutant for more information. My goal is the best talent we can recruit. Admiral Linda Fagan, voted unanimously by the Senate on May 11th to be confirmed as Commandant of the Coast Guard. Fagan is the first woman to head a military service branch, but she will not be the first to serve as a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Military.com reports, the Coast Guard Commandant, who heads the only branch of the U.S. Armed Forces housed outside the Department of Defense, is a de facto member of the panel and lacks full voting rights. Legislation has been introduced, however, that would elevate the Coast Guard Commandant to full and equal membership on the Joint Chiefs. 20%. U.S. adults with no or limited credit history, according to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. My GI Bill, Veterans and Education by Valerie Hefner. On the Job Training Switch. Question. Recently I was offered a job at a Texas police department. I attend a local community college and would like to know if it is possible to switch from this institution to on-the-job, OJT, training and use my Chapter 33 GI Bill education benefits. If I do, will my monthly housing allowance, MHA, remain the same? Answer. VA allows beneficiaries to change their course of study to OJT. It is highly recommended you complete your semester at the community college prior to applying for OJT benefits at the police department. To receive Chapter 33 benefits, you must ensure the police department is approved through the state approving agency in Texas. If so, apply at va.gov, changing your location of training to the police department. The payment received during OJT training is a different amount than received while attending a community college. VA students receive 100% of MHA for the first 6 months and distinctive percentages of it afterward. Valerie Hefner is a Marine Corps veteran and member of American Legion Post 27 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Ask VALERIE at legion.org. USAA Focus on Finances by J.J. Montanaro. Secure Act 2.0 and Your Retirement Strategy. As I write, the Secure Act 2.0 has passed the House and is sitting in the Senate. A lot can change between now and passage, but several themes are likely to emerge based on what we've seen in the legislative process up to this point. Let's look at four of those themes and what they might mean for your financial situation. Employers are going to make it easier to save and more rewarding. Automatic enrollment, signing people up to make contributions to their employer retirement plan when they start a job, could get a boost, along with automatic increases in how much individuals contribute. Both are shown to boost participation and savings rates. Another exciting change is the potential for employers to make contributions to Roth accounts. Employer matching contributions, profit sharing, or other contributions have always been directed into the pre-tax side of a retirement account. This change could especially benefit younger savers by allowing them, via their employer's contributions, to create a larger, potentially tax-free nest egg. Savers may be able to save more later in the game. Time is money, but does more time mean more money? That's the bet Washington is making when it comes to saving for retirement. There might be an aggressive increase in catch-up contribution limits available to those 50 and older, and perhaps an additional boost for savers in their 60s. This could allow more seasoned savers to leverage tax-advantage accounts to a larger extent to make up ground later in life. As a new empty nester, I can see how this may be helpful at a time in life when earning power can be at its highest and financial obligations are down. Military spouses may reap rewards. Any new legislation may include provisions that will incent employers, even small employers, to offer retirement plans to military spouses. These changes could make the plans more attractive to both the employer, tax incentives, and the military spouse, quicker eligibility, shorter vesting periods. Retirement distribution rules are likely to change again. I'm not sure I've fully recovered from the demolition of the old stretch IRA rules that took place in the original SECURE Act, 2019. In any case, it seems the age at which retirement plan and IRA distributions must begin is likely to be pushed back again. In recent years, we've seen the required beginning date shift from 70 and a half to 72, and it could become later. It might make more sense to evaluate the implications of voluntary distributions or Roth conversions from your retirement plans and IRAs to manage income taxes and second-order effects, such as how much you pay for Medicare or how much of your Social Security is taxed. This just scratches the surface. However, changes to the rules surrounding retirement and taxes drive home the importance of monitoring and updating your personal financial plan. Use this opportunity to talk with your financial team about potential adjustments to your retirement strategy. J.J. Montanaro is a certified financial planner with USAA, the American Legion's preferred provider of financial services. Legion.org/USAA. Promotion for Ulysses S. Grant. Legislation has been introduced with bipartisan support to posthumously elevate President Ulysses S. Grant to the rank of General of the Armies of the United States, which is the Army's highest rank. The legislation would confer on Grant the same honor given to George Washington when he was posthumously promoted during the nation's bicentennial in 1976. General Ulysses S. Grant was the principal author of Union victory during the Civil War. The Grant Monument Association said in a statement, "His achievements on the battlefield ensured the very survival of our nation amid the greatest threat it had ever faced." Many historians rightfully regard him as not only the most capable and accomplished general in American history, but also one of the great military commanders in world history. So it is only fitting that, as was done for George Washington during the nation's bicentennial in 1976, General Grant posthumously be accorded the Army's highest rank, and there is no better time to do so than during the Grant bicentennial in 2022.